Laudato Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Tuesday, June 17th, Pope Leo will resume the 400-year-old tradition of spending parts of the summer at Castel Gandolfo. The U.S. bishops call on their own country and the wider international community to engage in diplomatic efforts to promote peace in the Middle East. And the Vicar General of the Archdiocese of Mandalay, Myanmar, praises the Pope's support for peace as civilians suffer from the ongoing war. In the Vatican, I'm Kelsey Gussie. According to a statement by the Prefecture of the Papal Household published on Tuesday, Pope Leo XIV will resume the tradition of spending some time in Castel Gandolfo during the summer holidays. Alexandra Sergan tells us more.
Bringing back the 400-year-old tradition, Pope Leo will go to Castel Gandolfo, a hilltop town just south of Rome, for two separate periods. On the afternoon of Sunday, July 6th, the Holy Father will travel to the pontifical villas of Castel Gandolfo for a period of rest, according to the statement by the Prefecture of the Papal Household. The following Sunday, July 13th, at 10 a.m., Pope Leo will celebrate Mass in the pontifical parish of St. Thomas of Villanova in Castel Gandolfo, and at noon he will recite the Angelus prayer in Liberty Square in front of the Apostolic Palace.
E preghiamo insieme. Angelus Domini nunciabit Mariae.
Et concepit de Spiritu Sancto.
A week later on, July 20th, at 9:30 a.m., he will travel the short distance to the nearby town of Albano Laziale to celebrate Mass in the cathedral there. The Pope will then return to Castel Gandolfo to pray the Angelus at midday. That same day, the Holy Father will return to the Vatican to be present for the Jubilee of Youth, scheduled to take place from July 28th to August 3rd. After the Jubilee, he will travel back to Castel Gandolfo, where he will stay until mid-August. During the month of July, all private audiences and the Wednesday general audiences on July 2nd, 9th, 16th, and 23rd are suspended. The general audiences will resume on July 30th. Then, on the morning of Friday, August 15th, Pope Leo will celebrate Mass in the pontifical parish of Castel Gandolfo, reciting the noonday Angelus in Liberty Square. On Sunday, August 17th, he will pray the Angelus one last time in Castel Gandolfo before returning to the Vatican. I'm Alexandra Sergon.
And also on Tuesday morning, Pope Leo met with the Italian Bishops' Conference in the Vatican's Hall of Blessings. He urged them to embrace their primary responsibility of proclaiming and transmitting the Catholic faith, while always keeping Christ at the forefront. Deborah Castellano-Luboff reports.
Si tratta di porre Gesù Cristo al centro.
A renewed impulse is required to proclaim and transmit the faith. This means placing Jesus Christ at the center. Pope Leo XIV gave this reminder when addressing the Italian Bishops' Conference, or the CE, in the Vatican's Hall of Blessings on Tuesday morning. In his remarks, the Pope called for collegiality, witness, and most of all, helping people live a personal relationship with the Lord so they may discover the joy of the gospel.
Aiutare le persone a vivere una relazione personale con Lui.
Saying we live in a time of great fragmentation, the Holy Father called for returning to the foundations of our faith, to the kerygma. This, he said, is the first great commitment that motivates all the others, namely bringing Christ into the veins of humanity by renewing and sharing the apostolic mission. Pope Leo invited the Italian bishops to discern ways to bring the good news to everyone. He invited them to join in walking together with joy in their hearts, for God, he noted, is greater than our mediocrity. Let us be drawn to him. Let us place our trust in his providence, he said. Nevertheless, Pope Leo lamented, the Christian community in the country has long been facing new challenges, yet the Holy Father told them to not be disturbed and to work toward peace. The Holy Father exhorted the bishops to advance in unity, urging them to look with serenity toward tomorrow and not be afraid of courageous choices. No one can prevent you from being close to the people, he said, and no one, he underscored, can stop you from proclaiming the gospel.
Nessuno potrà impedirvi di annunciare il Vangelo.
For it is the gospel, he noted, that we are sent to bring, and this is what everyone, ourselves first of all, need in order to live well and be happy. Pope Leo stressed that peace is not a spiritual utopia, but rather a humble path made of daily actions. I'm Deborah Castellano-Luboff.
And as mutual attacks between Israel and Iran continue for the fifth straight day, the bishops of the United States call on their own country and the wider international community to engage in diplomatic efforts to promote peace in the Middle East. Christopher Wells reports.
The bishops of the United States are calling on their government and on the whole international community to exert every effort to renew a multilateral diplomatic engagement for the attainment of a durable peace between Israel and Iran. The current conflict erupted on Friday when Israel launched air raids on Iran that killed senior military officials as well as scientists working on Iran's nuclear program. Iran responded with missiles and rocket strikes on targets in Israel. More than 220 people in Iran and 21 people in Israel have been killed in the attacks, which continued into Tuesday. In a statement published by the U.S. Bishops' Conference, Bishop A. Elias Zaidan, the chairman of the USCCB's Committee on International Justice and Peace, warned that the further proliferation of nuclear weapons in the Middle East, as well as this escalation of violence, imperils the fragile stability remaining in the region. Quoting Pope Leo XIV, Bishop Zaidan said, "It is the duty of all countries to support the cause of peace by initiating paths of reconciliation and promoting solutions that guarantee security and dignity for all." He joined the prayer of Tehran Archbishop Cardinal Dominique Joseph Mathieu that peace through dialogue based on consensus will prevail. At the same time, Bishop Zaidan called on the Catholic faithful and all men and women of goodwill to ardently pray for an end to the hostilities in the Middle East. As violence between Israel and Iran escalates, the Israeli army's offensive in Gaza continues. On Tuesday, Gazan authorities reported at least 51 Palestinians were killed as they waited for aid trucks in the city of Khan Yunis in the southern Gaza Strip. The Israeli military did not immediately comment on the allegations. News agencies reported eyewitness accounts of Israeli tanks firing into the crowds awaiting humanitarian aid. It's the latest in a series of incidents resulting in mass deaths of Palestinian civilians. I'm Christopher Wells.
Following Pope Leo XIV's recent appeal for peace in Myanmar during the Angelus on Sunday, the Vicar General of the Archdiocese of Mandalay praised his support as civilians suffer from the ongoing war. As Devin Watkins reports, the situation in the Sagaing area continues to devastate communities and force people to flee the violence.
Catholic leaders in Myanmar have welcomed Pope Leo XIV's renewed appeals for peace as violence and displacement continue to devastate communities in conflict-affected regions. Throughout Myanmar, said Father Peter Sain Lang O, Vicar General of the Archdiocese of Mandalay, there are areas where fighting is taking place, where people are displaced, where civilians are suffering great hardship while fleeing the conflict. Speaking to the Vatican's Fides news agency, Father Peter said the diocese's Sagaing area has been heavily affected by clashes, bombings, and immense suffering of the civilian population. During his Angelus prayer on Sunday, June 15th, Pope Leo recalled the ongoing violence in Myanmar. Local church officials said his message has provided encouragement to communities feeling increasingly isolated by the crisis. Father Peter described scenes of destruction in Sagaing where villages have been abandoned or reduced to rubble due to the constant bombing. With communities divided across regime and resistance-held territories, many Catholics are caught in the crossfire. Despite the dangers, priests, religious, and lay catechists continue to provide aid and spiritual support in affected areas. Father Peter added that the Archdiocese of Mandalay also continues to grapple with the aftermath of a recent earthquake, compounding the crisis. In Yangon, lay Catholic and university lecturer Joseph Kung echoed concerns over the worsening humanitarian situation and welcomed the Pope's attention to the crisis. "The most painful thing is when schools are attacked," he said. "When pupils and students are attacked, young people who only wanted to continue their education." He pointed to the recent airstrike on a village in Sagaing that killed 20 students and two teachers. "Pope Leo's public appeals," said Mr. Kung, "have been a source of hope for many, offering a sense of solidarity to communities feeling abandoned after 4 years of war." I'm Devin Watkins.
And turning to world news, an overnight Russian missile and drone bombardment of Ukraine killed 15 people and injured 156, according to local officials. The main barrage demolished a nine-story Kyiv apartment building in this, the deadliest attack on the capital this year. At least 14 people were killed as explosions echoed across the Ukrainian capital for almost 9 hours, destroying dozens of apartments. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky said Russia fired more than 440 drones and 32 missiles, and he called the Kyiv attack one of the most terrifying strikes on the capital. Ukraine's Interior Ministry said 139 people were injured in the city, and the mayor announced Wednesday as an official day of mourning. The attack came after two rounds of direct peace talks failed to make progress on ending the war, now in its fourth year. Russia has repeatedly hit civilian areas of Ukraine with missiles and drones. The attacks have killed more than 12,000 Ukrainian civilians, according to the United Nations. And a recent report by the World Food Program and the Food and Agriculture Organization revealed that conflict is the main driver behind the hunger crisis in the five global hunger hotspots of highest concern. And as Grace Lathorpe reports, Sudan and Palestine are among these five nations, trapped in a worsening cycle of conflict, climate shocks, and economic decline, according to the United Nations.
For the last 2 years, Sudan has been ravaged by an internal conflict. It has led to more than 1 million people fleeing to South Sudan and displaced 12.4 million people. The United Nations reported that 57% of the Sudanese people are facing high levels of acute food insecurity. Sudan is one of the five global top priority hunger spots of highest concern, as the UN described, trapped in a worsening cycle of conflict, climate shocks, and economic decline. The World Food Program, otherwise known as WFP, and the Food and Agriculture Organization, FAO, recently released a report that analyzes current data to assess food insecurity. It pointed out that if these five countries, Sudan, South Sudan, Palestine, Mali, and Haiti, do not receive immediate humanitarian assistance, they will face high risks of starvation and death. Hunger, the FAO Director General Kwu Dong-gyu stressed, is not a distant threat. Rather, it is a daily emergency for millions, and he urged everyone to act now and act together to save lives and safeguard livelihoods. The report revealed that conflict is the main driver of the hunger crisis, but it can be compounded by climate and economic challenges. And this can also be seen in Gaza. There, the entire population, 2.1 million people, is expected to face crisis-level food insecurity in the coming months due to ongoing military operations, with nearly 500,000 at risk of experiencing catastrophic levels. Aid has not reached them, as humanitarian food operations face shortages and have been geographically impeded by security crises, which make the delivery of aid simply dangerous. The WFP and the FAO are calling on the global community to drastically increase funding for food and nutrition-related humanitarian aid in the coming months and to push for an end to the violence. I'm Grace Lathrop.
That brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, visit our Vatican News website, our Facebook, X, and Instagram accounts, where you can follow along with our new Pope, Leo XIV, during all his upcoming events as the 266th successor to St. Peter. Many thanks today go to the great Gustavo Messina, our sound engineer in studio. And of course, a special thanks to all of you for listening. And be sure to join us again tomorrow at this same time for more. In the Vatican, I'm Kelsey Gussie.